Welcome back to the Data for Good podcast. Today, we are joined by Senior Data Analytics Leader, Amanda Liu. We will be talking about the power of diversity in data. What are the benefits of having a diverse data team and how this contributes to the data-driven decision-making? How can we promote a culture of inclusivity and belonging within the data team? Strategies that you've employed to navigate this, and a very important topic as a woman in senior leadership, how has Amanda empowered other women to overcome gender-related challenges? Great episode. Looking forward. Enjoy. Diversity in data. Why is it important, and why are we talking about it now?
I would say this topic holds real significance to me, like both personal and professional level. And I've been in this field for almost 20 years, really have seen firsthand a lot of impact and like a diverse team, and actually leads to really good team dynamic and team success, and also kind of like help us leads to better decision making and really help foster innovation. I think that part I've seen a lot over time, and whether people are aware or not aware of it. Mm-hmm. And personally, I've also learned a lot, and my background and experience continue to kind of bring me the deep appreciation of different perspective and culture on this. And I was born in Taiwan, and my journey has taken me to Dallas, Texas, to New York City, nice. Now in Berlin, Germany. And this continued to humble me, actually, like kind of helped me to see different perspective, different culture. And mm-hmm. I actually always reminded and want to be consciously make a difference. So I was kind of excited to talk about it today.
Yeah, a wealth of experience that we can dive into and hopefully learn from. So for context, some people maybe haven't been in the industry as long as you have. What was it like 20 years ago? How did you feel the situation was within data?
I think at the time, probably analytics wasn't even like a popular term. We were just analysts. And I was very often like the one woman or one of the two women mm-hmm. in like a 10 plus people team. It could be called data, could be finance, could be something numbers related. And that kind of has been the case, like whether it's like a from gender perspective or from like a people of color perspective, then it's kind of always kind of been the case. Mm-hmm. I consider myself kind of more of a minority, but I know when we talk about diversity, it's more than that, right? It's not just racial and gender, but also like a generation, like age or like disabilities, whether they have kids or sexual orientation, some working experiences to like language proficiency, like all these different kind of things. So I'm mm-hmm. become more and more aware of that. And I think working in data, it has also changed a lot. I think we have a lot of this is also translating to what we do. For example, like how do we think about communicating in data insight and visualization and think about diversity? I think these mm-hmm. are actually, I see that reflect more and more in the field.
Well, I think with software, it's computer to computer, but with data, it's computer to human. So that communication part is critical. So diversity in communication, in storytelling, what are the benefits that you've seen in the benefits?
Mm-hmm. I think there are two things, Papa, I will share first. I think in terms of like communicating and tell a story, like it's come down to the insights, right? Like mm-hmm. usually this bigger thing is to give very meaningful insights. And I work with so many different industries and work with all kinds of customer and data, different kind of data. But what I really learned a lot about this, we need to recognize we are not our customers. Most likely we are not our customers. And to actually give really meaningful insights, and we need to be able to actually approach analysis in with a lot of empathy and able to put ourselves in their shoes. And this mm-hmm. is where diversity can really help us, and it really shines to have the diverse team to bring the different background and experience to, and it's kind of like give us that treasure trove of insights. And when we look at things from different angles and catching things like ourselves alone could have missed from the inside perspective, and that mm-hmm. really this collective intelligence, it can create so much impact. I think that's one thing. I found like super interesting and still always learning from different people on my team, for example. Yeah. And the other part is about communication, right? And I think a lot of things, essentially, when we tell a story, a lot of things is about inclusive communication as well. A very small things, like I think we might not even think about. It's like how we present our charts, how we present our graphs. Like maybe you think about maybe people who are consuming might be colorblinded, like, right? But you might not think about it. And how can we be inclusive about it? Or maybe if we're sharing this to maybe people who are less technical, how can we make this more inclusive so they understand what we're talking about and not using very complex languages or even abbreviations, things like that, or make the fonts bigger if you feel like they might not be able to see or understand. So really have this kind of different kind of accessibility and inclusive communication guideline in mind. And other than that, also welcome feedback, like when people actually receive it and share with us their feedback to make this better, because it's about communicating information, whether it's numbers or stories or visualization. I think this is a lot of impacting what we do.
And what are some of the examples that you've experienced that has had such a big impact in this area?
I think visualization is something actually I found personally quite interesting. Mm-hmm. When I used to work with in consultancy, like work with like different type of different clients and work with different team, a lot of times we really want to make sure our whatever insights or story or graph we're telling, like, have some kind of best practice. Like, it's very easy to digest, and either people not so familiar, not so technical, they can really get it. That's why they hire us for, right? So, like, we shouldn't make it so complex. I think that's like one of the huge learning, to make sure people get your story. Like, they might not understand all the models you develop in the middle and everything that's actually the big things, a complex process you have in between, but they need to understand what this means to them. And to me, like, this helped us so many times, like whether it's me or my team, when we look at how we communicate information, like think about who actually is on the other side, like think about what they might need. I think that information, whether myself now might not be the only person aware, but I might share it with someone else on my team as like, what do you think about this? Like, this person might have zero context, was working on something else. And that person need to be able to understand what we're trying to tell. I think that to me is one of the biggest learning. And other things I've done a lot, I would say, is around, for example, when I work on customer or audience insights, very often we are looking at a diverse range of customer segments, like trying to understand, some have very different demographic or psychographic preferences when we're doing analysis. Some are very young, but some might be like really focused on like fashion style, like some others very focused on comfort, some really interesting in football, some other very complete different sports, right? And I think from a team perspective, I see my group of analysts actually like their expertise and various interests they have and their background, like kind of prove this instrumental to extracting insight, because I wouldn't know all this. I wouldn't know all this audience. And that was really, really helpful.
It's like having a really strong pub quiz team. The more experiences and the different understandings you have, the more likely you are to do well. It sounds like with communication that the skill is in the simplicity.
I think simplicity is one thing, but I think it's about really understand what this person might be looking for, and is this clear to them? And it's kind of think from their perspective, like how to communicate. I think besides we talk about, like, even with the example I mentioned earlier, the colorblind example, right? Like if I'm working with a stakeholder, like clearly need the different shades, stronger shades, differentiation than what we showed. And this is not just about simplicity. And then we need to be able to be like, okay, this color should avoid. or this color scale doesn't mean anything because it's not significantly different enough, right? Like things about that. So it's not necessarily just about simplicity, but also really understand like what's meaningful for them.
But it has wider reach as well, because even if someone is colorblind, even someone without those conditions, it makes it easier for them to see as well.
Totally.
So it's wider reaching.
Yeah, accessibility, I think, really have a huge benefit there. And I think this is a learning for me. Like, I think a lot of this inclusive communication, I also learned along the way.
And so it's decision making. So in analytics and in data and the domain that you've been in for some time now. So how does it contribute to better decision making and data driven decision making?
I would say it's come back to what I can mention earlier, this really recognize we do not really fully represent all of our customer. I think this is a mindset. Like we need to really have that respect, kind of want to bring in different perspective and want to like actually value different opinion. I think this part to me is most valuable when it comes to decision making, because a lot of this is not just about quantitative data, right? A lot of things also cannot be quantified, actually, but you need to be able to think holistically. Example probably I will give is when I used to work with, probably still are, work with product team and designers, but I used to work with creative a lot, like people in creative field, their design directors and also designers. In the beginning, I had a hard time. because I feel it's a very different approach. It's quite a different approach when you think about data. Often is a bit more black and white a bit. Like I used to approach this a bit more clear cut and to be like, well, this is an A-B test. Like this outperform the other, this copies better, this color, this font, whatever, like this design. And I think over time, I really trained myself to be like, oh, working alongside creative team kind of exposed me to different ways of thinking. Like they embrace ambiguity, they embrace intuition, they defend their choices because this is good design that is very personal, right? So it's about like it kind of opened my eye about like, well, this is what data said. But then you also work with creative and to understand like, what is their problem solving? What is their decision-making process? Like I train myself to be more holistic and overall. I think that to me really helped. Like design is just one thing. Working across with product team, with engineers, like kind of everybody have very different perspective. I think that actually improved my communication with them as well, because I'm able to think with them, think for them. But also this, I was able to approach in the discussion, not just from a data mindset. And I think that when we talk about diversity, right, this is not just about like, I come in working data, I need to be able to work with a variety of people.
Yeah.
And this decision-making process, usually data is could be a core, really a key element, but we need to be able to think holistically. I think that context has been really valuable for me.
So that's kind of what were the steps, what were the lessons that you learned to get from where you were to where you are now?
You mean the how, it's like how I'm learning about
that. Some takeaways that people can use, people want the similar journey to that you've been on. Could they do?
I think one, I would say keep an open mind. I think this has been, I found the most fun through my journey is just learn and keep an open mind and be very receptive to new ideas and show respect to people. I think this is the core of it. And then I also think why I'm really passionate about this and really want to be an advocate for not only just for diversity, but inclusivity is I think this is my personal value of like a fairness, like to really treat everybody as equal and to include people. I think this is something kind of I operate from my core value. But over time, I think this remind myself, like, and there's a term like love an idea for 5 minutes. Try to learn love the idea for 5 minutes. I think this kind of thing is important. And to really try to have empathy and think for others, this has always this always does me really well. But for day-to-day wise, I think I kind of come back to a couple of things. One, kind of come back to the communication. I think from a team perspective, as a leader, the communication, like, we can set a quite clear communication, how the team operates, how the team communicate. Like, even to things like have a very clear shared goal, people understand how they play a role, everybody understand we're here to contribute, and we as a lead have a role to play to kind of set this guideline, say this is how we work, mm-hmm. and this is when we meet, people can join. So I am the one responsible for make sure things are flexible for and set at the meeting time, people can join, mm-hmm. or I encourage people to actually share their opinion, create that safe environment. It could be done through just have a space, leave out for Q&A, or to ask people to take turns, or to a point to say, let's share a pre-read the day before so everybody can prepare. So you set this kind of expectation mm-hmm. to help people say, this is expected of me, I need to participate. I think as a lead, we can do that. And I think other than that, I think a lot of day-to-day is like, for example, I'm responsible for hiring, and these are the things we can champion, right? In terms of the diversity in the pipeline or decision-making process when it comes to hiring as well. And other than that, I think I touched base on a bit earlier, might be controversial, but I actually really think working cross-functional team, like a project-based team, often really mm-hmm. help to at least break down the silo a bit to get you outside of your bubble. Mm-hmm. It usually, this to me, I found that people learn a lot, and I also learn a lot. I often push my team to do it if you can, and I think that's something I think we as a leader can also create opportunities for.
Okay, so kind of a specialist in a domain, but a generalist across the business, so you get more insights and information from different groups of people. As a lead, I'm going to dig into that a little bit more. So you mentioned a few points, but when we're talking maybe on a global context, inclusive leadership within data analytics, how are we promoting a culture across a business?
Yeah, I think this come back to, I think first the communication part is important, right? This is being really, really open. And I think about the remote work, how it has kind of reshaped mm-hmm. What happened to this kind of way of working in the past couple of years. I think for me in a global team, in a global context right now, my focus remains on very much cultivate this very, very strong relationship with my team and within my team. I think this has been really, really helpful, whether we are together in person or we're hybrid or we're remote. I think I prioritize really building this connection mm-hmm. with the people, build on really based on trust, respect, and again, open communication. I actually sometimes even will tell my team, I prefer to over-communicate until we kind of get to know each other a bit because we're learning, right, how to work with each other. And I think this global setup, there's unique challenges, but also opportunities presented by this setup. And I do kind of tailor my way to lead the team and develop team a bit differently. It depends on the setup actually I'm in. So it could come to different ways. It could be whether I have working parents on my team, whether I have people working from all different time zones, or like even for things like this, like can we agree on a flexible working agreement with everyone, right? So everybody understand like this is how we operate and this is okay. We all have our life and this is how we will actually be able to work together. I think as a lead, we need to create that environment. And mm-hmm. I see that's one of the key. And the other thing I will probably call out is there are tons of opportunities to develop and grow, and doesn't need to be in person, and can be remote but together. And I think this focus on identifying and providing those opportunities, like from like a remote training, so either mentorship programs, allow people to do some conference sometime, like identify how can people continue to grow regardless where they are. I think to me, that's quite important, because I know really people want to grow, and we as a lead need to support that regardless where they are.
You've experienced on-site and remote. Is it more time-consuming building this connection remotely, or is it the communication more straightforward?
I think it's quite a mix, actually. So Pleo, for example, is remote first. So I do go to office sometimes, but like even when I go, like most of my directs are actually in Copenhagen, like while I'm based in Berlin. So even if I do go, I see other people other than my team. So I think it's a bit mixed. I do enjoy the opportunity, like, and options to see people in person, but it's hard to get together as a group. So I think as long as we're all on the same page, this is how we work, and this is how we can actually, we need to dedicate time for one-on-one, more one-on-one than we used to in person. And in my last role, we can just, let's go get a coffee, let's go walk around the water. And it's a different kind of connection. But I think I prioritize building that. Like whenever I can, in person, I will try to make time. And if I cannot, I will try to do that one-on-one, like prioritize that, because that's the last thing actually I will want to move with my team.
And what about group sessions? So bringing in all the points we've discussed today about communication and empowering, how do you do that in a group setting?
I think it depends on the team's agreement, right? I think I have a couple different hats I'm wearing. I think from the day-to-day team, we have our rituals. It's like weekly rituals. We do planning together, and we and also problem solve together. So they have like a different sessions we dedicate it for our team. And from the leadership group, like specifically, and there are sessions designed to check in on like how we're feeling, how are we doing, like really encourage that open communication, and for us to support each other. But if you look at, kind of take a step back, I think creating that space to me has been one of the important things I know we need to do. I think one key learning probably wouldn't surprise you is analysts often are not the most extroverted group. So like if you put them in the room, does not mean they will start talking to each other, or they will do something organically. I think that to me is one of the learnings, and I know like as lead, I need to encourage, I need to create opportunity. And I think that comes into different shape or forms. It could be what we discuss as a weekly meeting, as whatever. And I also really want to do, usually we do like retrospective as a team. Like we do that probably right now, like more of a quarterly basis, like how we're doing, what we like, what we don't, what's we struggle. So have that dedicated space, say, this is what we're going to talk about, and people come prepared. Also helps, because I don't think the team often, to me, if I just put them on the spot, they might not work well, just respond to me right away. But it's more of I would say the nature of the group.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing. I'm conscious of time, but we're flying through, and there's one topic that I really want to ask you about. So you are a woman in a senior leadership role. How have you empowered other women to overcome other more gender-related challenges?
I think a couple of things there. I think it's probably, list is quite long, but I will probably highlight a couple of things. What I'm passionate about is definitely dedicate time and resources for like mentorship and sponsorship, and like I do the mentorship and coaching, and think this is something I really strongly believe in overall. Because I think this is something we need to kind of support each other, whether it's a peer, whether it's your mentor-mentee relationship, but empower women to connect and to, with those who can support their growth is important. And currently at Pleo, I'm driving, I'm one of the coordinators that's driving this Women in Pleo the mentorship program. And we are hoping to connect this community, like give each other support for key topic like career development, effective communications, work-life balances, things like that. So like we need to create this space. I think as a senior leader, like we can play a more active role. I think this the other thing related, I would say, is also like a lead by example, right? Because this comes into so many different ways. One is like I also contribute to initiative like this, and so it's visible. And on the other hand, if someone on my team has like achievements, I recognize, I celebrate, make it also visible for others, like hopefully to inspire, right? So to create this to create this environment so people say, hey, like this person did this, like this could be a role model, like to help the other aspiring female leaders or talents, like look, this is possible for you, this is possible, like this is totally possible if you want to do it, like how can we support. I think this is very connected, and I think other than that, I think the things we talk about, like really advocate for flexibility when possible, like if people need work-life balances, if you people like they say I want a flexible working arrangement, like as a lead I need to be able to go behind that. And I think this is something if we need to champion and we need to advocate for this, like if we need to promote actually flexible working hours, or like actually for people who especially working parents to like start early, leave early, if they need that environment, and we need to be able to create that for them. And other than that, I think it's to kind of reflect our behavior in different things we do, whether it's from hiring or even in meetings or provide training development opportunities. I think that's a couple different things as senior leads we kind of can probably organically should think about, but I feel we should also consciously try to make a difference.
So visibility, it sounds that it is possible. There are female leaders out there, and flexibility sounds like another one. If someone was looking to start a similar journey as yourself to really advocate diversity, particularly in leadership, what were the hardest lessons that you learned that maybe they could not make the same mistakes or go through the same challenges?
I would say harder lesson. To me, it has been really understand how to ask for help, actually. I think when I was earlier in my journey, I wouldn't say necessarily experience like unfairness or things like that, like outright. But I feel like I generally do aware, like I don't see a lot of examples or role models. And I think that is also quite expected. As I explained before, I was probably one out of 10 plus people, but it's a woman, or my bosses or other leader often male, and it's okay. And I got involved and I asked for help, and I actually got assigned a mentor. And so I think these are the things I need to go after if I need help, but I need to speak up, I need to ask for support. And to me, it's important. And for make sure this is not just inside you and you didn't tell anyone about it. And I think that's a big learning for me.
So that was the challenges. What about the big wins? What were the kind of milestones on this journey?
I feel the milestone, I'm not necessarily a particular thing, but I think overall I'm very proud of the people on my teams, like from either the current one or before. I think like I always celebrate like how everybody went and when everybody wins, right? Like for example, if a working parent on my team like can make it work and they don't feel they have to choose it, I feel really good about it. And if I can make their life easier, or if someone have to work in a different time zone and we can like reasonably make it possible and people can still enjoy their life because of for whatever going on that's needed. And if I'm able to support that, and to me, as a leader, that's all that matters. It's like if they can be successful and they feel supported, and this is that's why I'm committed to do this. Because we shouldn't make people feel like any less just because their situation or where they're coming from. I think that to me is a big learning.
A true servant leader, Amanda. Appreciate all the insights that you shared with us today. Where can people learn more? What can people be doing? What tips to follow you and get involved? Where can they go? Where can they find you?
Yeah, I think for me, it's on LinkedIn. Yeah, happy to connect.
Any blogs, any people that you follow, any events that you've found very valuable?
And to me, actually, I'm still discovering for Berlin, actually. I used to have a quite good connection in New York before I moved to Berlin. Now I'm here for like 2.5 years. I'm kind of exploring different kind of network here. So kind of very open. I have been just following different group.
Amazing. Well, thank you once again, Amanda. Ciao for now.
Yes, thank you. Bye, Matt.